Graduate, am I correct?
Right.
You have a biochemistry degree?
Biological and chemical science, pretty close to that. I got a double major with honors from Florida State, and I'm hoping to get a job, to look for a job, trying to organize a job search. Sometimes it's easier said than done.
Yes, absolutely.
By the way, I nearly won my case to save Terry Schiavo. I nearly won the lawsuit in court, and I lost by a 4-3 split vote, since my case actually did better in court than the governor's case. And you can go to the court's website. And do you think maybe you should tell your listeners what my websites are so they can take a look at them while my front page news is up?
Yeah, go ahead and say the
okay,
name of
my
your
websites. Okay, my websites are basically my name. One of them is www.gordonwaynewatts.com, GordonWaynewatts.com, sort of like DeborahJMSmith.com. The other one is GordonWaTS.com. It doesn't have my middle name in it, GordonWaTS.com. And for my pro-life listeners out there, it is true. I did come pretty close to winning my lawsuit to save Terry Schiavo. Some people say that I didn't really go as far as I did, but in the end, it was thrown out, and then I asked for a rehearing, and then Jeb Bush asked for a rehearing. He got thrown out a second time, 7-0, and I got thrown out 4-3. So I pulled ahead in the end, but it was.
And all of this is this information can be found through your website.
That's right. And you, there are links to the state Supreme Court's website, and people can Google my name. All the blogs
sounds
were talking
good
about me back in the day.
Sounds
they
good
thought it was a miracle that a non-lawyer could actually get this far in court.
Well, I'll tell you, non-lawyers can get a lot further than people realize. I'm finding that out myself. But let's. The cost of college. I want to put on my boogie shoes. What were you wanting to say?
So the cost of college has risen. Now, of course, everything goes up because of inflation. But even when you get the dollars adjusted to where they were back in the day, the price of college is almost 10 times what it was back in the day. Back in the 56-57 school year, it cost about $100 or $150 for a year of college. Okay, nowadays it costs now that's about $1,000 of our dollars, about $1,000 or $1,100 of today's money, because back then $100 could go a long ways. Now it costs around $10,000 or $11,000. And so why has college gone up? It's not because of the quality of education. The quality has actually gone down. Our students are falling behind people in other countries, and they're wasting money on these stupid programs, paying administrators huge amounts of money, stupid building projects, stupid programs. The quality of education is not right, and that we shouldn't keep pouring tax dollars in it. But here's the rub. The federal government does keep putting money into higher education, and they keep bailing them out. And when the colleges and the universities get all their bills paid off by the tax dollars that come in, then they can jack the tuition up to a rate that no one can pay. And so what if it bankrupts the student and they don't pay it? They've already got their bills paid off, and they're enabling their bad behavior. So the bottom line is that, as a result, students are going bankrupt for the same education that the students of just 30 or 40 years ago, they were not going bankrupt over it. And since the colleges and the universities are technically supported by the government, they're an arm of the government. they're a branch or an arm, de facto arm of the government, and any tuition that you pay in is paying for education that's already been paid for, and it effectively is a tax. And I don't mind paying my fair share for college or whatever, but to pay for nine other people or something, or pay for some rich president or someone or some stupid building program that I don't care about that's not helping me, even when the quality's going down, it's obviously not helping, it's not fair, and it's a tax. And I don't mind paying my fair share, which is conservative. I don't want a free handout. That would be liberal, but I don't want to pay 10 times the tax that I'm supposed to pay. That's
what happens is the colleges do charge more money because the colleges know that the students also get government loans and government grants. And I do believe that the colleges charge more knowing full well that these students can get these things. And in my mind, the government is in a way at fault for the higher cost because they're the ones enabling the colleges to do this, and then students on top of it pay tuition on top of everything else. It seems to me like it is a vicious circle. I think it does enable the colleges to charge more, knowing that the students are going to get something back. Colleges are not stupid. They know, okay, well, these parents make this amount of money, and their kid is going to get this amount from the government, so we can charge that one more. What do you think, Gordon?
Well, the thing you have to realize is that the free market is not allowed to operate when the government floods money into the system. But now here's something that's not so obvious. A private college, totally private, is still an arm of the government. It's still a branch of the government because the government basically funds it in so many different ways, from college grants to college loans to guaranteed student loans and stuff like that. So even the private colleges are an arm of the government. Therefore, any tuition that you pay to any college, especially a state-owned college, most of them are, is tuition is technically a tax.
Now, are you calling it a tax because technically the taxes already go to the colleges, so some students have to pay and some students don't have to pay?
Addressing the inequity that you mentioned earlier, although that's a valid concern. My point is that the college is a branch of the government, and any monies that go into it, which include tuition, are technically a tax because anything that you pay to the government is a tax, correct? It's funded by the federal government, and therefore the federal government has part ownership in it. Therefore, the private college is not totally private. It's mostly a public college, depending on how much of private funding. The government should totally remove itself from the situation. I know that this is not going to happen, but if it did, the free market would – I'll give you an example. Let's suppose that every McDonald's – let's say that every restaurant and supermarket in the entire nation were given money by the government and had their bills totally paid for. They could charge you anything they wanted for a Big Mac. They could bankrupt you for your daily amount of food. And actually, that's prophesied to happen in Revelation 6:6. It will cost a penny for a measure of wheat. Translated in the modern translation, and you can look this up, it'll cost a whole day's wages for a whole day's food. So my concept, my theory that the free market will be obliterated when the government moves in and allow them to bankrupt you over something just basic, it was predicted in Revelation 6:6, and it's happening with college students right now in that realm as well. It happens in many different areas, whether it's food, health care, whatever. The government goes in and takes over and funds them, then they don't care what happens to you. They can charge you a crazy amount and bankrupt you. They don't care. Their bills are already paid. That's why the government has messed up the free market by going in there. I shouldn't be taxed so much that it just obliterates my credit for life, just totally cripples me for life financially.
I see it especially for the state schools, not so much on the private, but I understand what you're saying. Our tax dollars are going to that private college.
Oh, yeah.
Therefore, why are we being billed through the nose to go to that which our tax money is paying for?
Thank
is that what you're saying?
Thank you. You got it.
Gordon, I also want to say this, too. And I want to make this very clear for anyone who may be listening to this live or in an archive. Even though I don't agree with the government just giving free money to these colleges, okay? And I'm talking free money from our taxes. You know, nothing someone's working for, like a fellowship, and it's not something where the money's coming from a foundation, as with the Barry Goldwater, but actual free money. My thing is, as long as they're going to do that, as long as the government's going to do this, you get as much back as you possibly can. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm advocating not taking whatever you can get. You take whatever you can get because they're taking whatever they can get from you, the taxpayer.
I agree with you on all your points, but I want to add, there were a lot of...
But in the meantime, we need to fight to stop them from taking our money to begin with,
right,
and giving it. We'd do a lot better if they just didn't take all of our money to begin
right
with, right, Gordon?
The free market could operate at that point.
Absolutely.
But now, here's the thing. A lot of students, I was going to call them stupid, but that wouldn't be right. A lot of students, whether for whatever reason, had lower GPAs, a lot lower grade point averages than me in college, and yet they had a scholarship for whatever reason, and they played their cards right, and they kept it. And in my case, I was working two jobs, and when I lost my scholarship from high school that I got because of my high grades in high school, no one told me that I could get it back by going back and raising my grades the next semester. Okay, no one told me that, and then when I went and finally did raise my grades, it was too late. And so you end up with these students with a lot lower grade point average than me in college, and they still have their scholarships, or they got scholarships. A lot of them, they get them from a lot of different places, but a lot of them are merit scholarships or Bright Futures or whatever here in Florida. And they would not give me a scholarship, even though I got my grades almost to a 4.0 average, and I graduated with a 3.3, double major with honors, and no scholarship for grades. Just the only scholarships that I got was, you know, the little Pell Grants for poor people or whatever, and the guaranteed student loans that will put you in debt for the rest of your life. Anything else? And I think the college gave like $500 a year or something. But it was the rise in tuition has been more than the other influx of supposed grants or whatever. And so back in the 50s, you could work a job over the summer and save up a couple hundred dollars, which is about $1,000 of our dollars, and then pay for your entire school year. Period. You would graduate and you wouldn't be in debt. They didn't have college assistance. They didn't have grants and loans and scholarships, but they didn't need them either. No one graduated with any debt unless they were stupid, you know. And so nowadays, the colleges are so much higher. And not only that, these young kids with the lower GPAs got a lot more scholarships than I did. It didn't matter. I pressed the wrong button. It wasn't my fault, and I lost all my scholarship money from that point forward. So, yeah, the system is messed up, and Jesus is going to be one unhappy camper because he said that people shouldn't be mistreating other people and putting them down.
There's
someplace in the 25th chapter of Matthew, down near the bottom of the chapter, as I recall.
Well, I do know that there are ways, okay, that, you can get more different, you know, more scholarships, and that's what I definitely pushed. And again, need-based, you can get grants with the need-based. It's just there's so many different things that you have to do. You really have to be on top of it.
Once you're in debt, though, you can't get it taken care of. About the only way you can get your thing taken care of is either get lucky and get a high-paying job, and I do mean a high-paying job because I'm deep in debt with all the degrees I got, or you could work. There are a few jobs that you can work at where they'll relieve your debt.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. But also, being a grad student in the sciences, and you're in the sciences,
mm-hmm.
if you go into the research, you can get paid for being a grad student, which will obviously, you know, give you a higher degree to get more money once you work outside of any schooling, but also you can use some of that money if you still live home with mom, like my oldest daughter and hopefully my youngest daughter will as well during grad school, and they can help pay it. They can pay some things off.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's definitely a lot out there, but I think, Gordon, that you brought up some excellent points. And let's go on one of the other topics now that you were wanting.
I wanna put on my boogie shoes.
Should Michelle Obama have called the U.S. a mean nation? Now, tell us about that.
Okay, I'm American, and I'm part Native American, and I love my country, and I'm a conservative and all that. But our divorce rate, we have the highest incarceration rate. Now, someone said, well, we have criminals, they should be locked up. But now we have liberal activist courts, and a lot of them are not guilty. We have the highest incarceration numbers and the percentage. We have our lifespans are, well, that figure has been disputed, but I honestly believe that a lot of other countries are healthier than us. We have a high crime rate. Did I say we had a high divorce rate? I mean, our country is going downhill. Things have gotten better for the suffrage and for the vote for minorities and for women. And slavery was abolished, thank God. I'm thankful for that. I'm not one of those liberals that say, hey, well, the slavery. But now the same attitudes that engendered slavery back in the day are still in the court system. I mean, we haven't changed that much in 200 years. And our country does have a lot of positive things to offer.
So I see what you're saying. In the sense that we have a lot of trouble. But am I understanding correctly, Michelle Obama called it a mean nation?
Well,
I Googled it, and I found,
yeah,
I did
well,
find
let me, let me ask you this.
When did she
right
say
here.
That? When
let
did
me
she
ask
say
you a
that?
Question. I want you to be honest with me now. If you were to become homeless, how easy would it be for you to just go up to one of your neighbors in your neighborhood and say, hey, you know me. I live right down the road. I'm homeless. Take me in. Now, you know what it says in Isaiah 58. This is the fast I've declared, isn't it? Taking the homeless. Jesus said, I was a homeless wandering stranger. The lower part of chapter 25 of Matthew that I mentioned earlier. And you didn't take me in. What up? Jesus gets bent out of shape and starts sending people to hell. Obviously, he's God. You know, no one has the authority to send a person to hell except God. So Jesus is God. And he was an angry God. I mean, but our country... you know, I don't know that it has gone, I don't know that things were that much better back in the day. You had dishonest people back then. Maybe they weren't as well known, but you could leave your door unlocked a lot more. But nowadays, there was a guy in my church that told me, he told our class, he said recently his wife had to go in the hospital and he didn't know who to call. We're a member of this mega church. It's a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, and they're some of the nicest people of any church I've ever met. And I prefer going there over any other church for that reason. They're true, genuine Christians. But even in that church, he said he didn't know who he could really turn to, that he could really trust to keep an eye on his kids while he had to go to the hospital with his wife. And that's sad. You know, our nation has a lot of good things, and in a lot of ways we're better than other countries. But in other countries, there's a lot of things that are a lot better than we have over here. They eat healthier.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, here's my thoughts on it. I'm thinking that Michelle Obama is not coming from the same place you're coming from, though. I'm thinking she's coming from, right. See, I'm thinking that...
A Second Amendment right, or cutting taxes, or freedom of speech, or something like that. That's probably a mean thing for her.
I'm thinking when it comes to Michelle Obama, from what I heard about her college thesis that is locked up tight and lock and key, is that I think that her problem was against Whitey. They're very racist. Mr. and Mrs. Obama, they're very racist, and I think when she's says something negative about this country, I think it goes with that minister of that farce of a church that they went to for 20 years, that their idea of mean is Whitey being mean to the black community in America. Whereas I see what you're saying. You're saying that it's not really nice when you can't turn to someone for help when you wonder, well, who would you turn to for help if you need to? But the only reason I wouldn't compare it to what Michelle Obama said is because Michelle Obama was not meaning it in the way that you're meaning it.
You know, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Now, you said that that was under lock and key, her thesis. I'm not sure, but I would have sworn that I saw them someplace, was able to get the copy and posted. And I'm not sure I either saw the actual thesis or I saw something that was allegedly quoting from it. And from my understanding is, and I don't know for sure, but it's my understanding, I could be wrong, that she wasn't saying that she has a problem with Whitey, but that some of the respondents to her survey did, and that was a theme of the survey she put out. And I'm not exactly, I think that that's how it turned out, that she was analyzing other viewpoints or something. I mean, am I wrong here? I mean, they are.
I'd like to see the thesis for myself, because from what I understand, there were some excerpts put out, and I recall reading some things, and it just looked to me like she really blamed white people. I've been very shocked at some of the statements people have made on a whole, like Whoopi Goldberg saying that she now feels she can put her suitcase down, that somehow she didn't feel this country was hers until a man who happened to have black skin got into office. To me, that is racism, you know, that she couldn't feel this was her country until someone with black skin got into office. It's like, golly, what about all of the fabulous career you've had, Whoopi? I mean, what doesn't that say something to you? I mean, boggles my mind. And here's the thing. I am a person who does understand the desire for blacks to have someone in office of their race. But what is pure racism to me is that they didn't care who it was, just as long as he had black skin. And that, to me, is racism, when they don't care about the content of his heart, of his soul, of his character. As long as he had black skin, that's all that mattered to them, and that's racism. It's like, on one hand, yes, I understand your desire to have someone of your race in, but why didn't it matter to have something of good character? You know, it's like they've decided no matter what, they're going to pretend, you know, when I say they, I'm meaning those who think like Whoopi feel. But anyway,
a lot of black people, and they're usually no different than I am. But the fact is that blacks vote a lot more strongly Democratic. I don't know why that statistic is, because there's nothing genetically wrong with black people. That inferiority theory is total garbage. But
I feel as though the whole giving them more and what's the word? Why am I not getting the word? You know, what's the word where you have to hire so many blacks?
Oh, quota. You have to meet quota.
No. But yes, quota, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Oh, my gosh. Somebody in the chat room, help me out. What word am I looking for? Oh, golly, we're both going to say, yeah, that's it, when we see it. Affirmative action.
Yeah, you're right, affirmative action.
Okay, affirmative action to me is an insult to everyone. It's an insult to both blacks and whites. It's an insult to whites that we're all being judged as racist, so we must have affirmative action to be able to hire a black person. It's like, give me a break. You know, that's judging all of us as racist. But it's also an insult to blacks in that it's saying that they can't get a job the normal way. And it's an insult.
I would not take a scholarship simply because I was Native American unless I actually could qualify. I mean, I'll admit that as deeply in debt as I am, I might be tempted to take something, but I would not feel right taking something that I didn't qualify for, that someone else
would qualify. Gordon, my daughter, my oldest daughter, who got this National Science Foundation Fellowship, someone, you know, meant well, And most people just don't think twice about it. The person meant well. It's a very nice person, and my daughter thinks very highly of this person. But the person told my daughter, play up the fact that you're a female. Because when you fill out an application and you have to write certain things to try and get this fellowship, and you have to have the grades and so on and so forth, but you also have something that you write. And this person suggested that Jessica play up the fact that she's a female.
How could she play up?
And I said, what?
Once they see her name on the application, they'll know she's a female. And
but here's the thing. I guess apparently if a person plays up the fact that they're a female, it's kind of like talking between the lines, saying, I expect this because I'm a female. It's a kind of a way of putting the reviewer, the people who review it and read it, it's a way of putting them on the spot and saying, hey, I'm a female. It's a way of putting them on the spot. So I remember I said to Jessica, I said, Jessica, I says, don't do it. Jessica graduated perfect 4.0. I'm going to boast my kid. We were homeschoolers, so all glory to the Lord. And she graduated 4.0, highest honors, and I was like, don't you dare let anybody bring this down to the sex that you were born.
If she did that, she might end up in a job where they only hired her because she was a woman. You never can tell. But, you shouldn't be dishonest. If you're dishonest, the law is of sowing and reaping, which some people call karma, okay? Enough said about that.
I want to put on my boogie shoes.
I want to still get to the topic of the Muslim dating site, because we mentioned that before the call.
That bothered me that they have that advertised on there. And here's something. I'm going to sum it up really quickly for people who are just new in the room here and didn't hear it earlier. The Hannity website, when I joined the other day, and I've yet to do any posts and I don't plan on it, I'm going to ask them just to remove my account. It's very upsetting. I no sooner did I make my account, because I wanted to post something on something that had come up on a Google. I had Googled the topic about the Muslim Washington, D.C. prayer day this past Friday, where they were all coming together to pray to their Allah God, okay, their false God. And I was Googling that topic to post on it when I found that it was on this Hannity blog, which was my sole reason for signing up to get on his blog, was so that I could post something on this topic. Well, I never did post it, because no sooner do I sign up, did I sign up, I should say, and I get in there, what's right on this page, right underneath where you could click to go to the topic thread that I was looking for, okay, there was this advertisement for a Muslim dating service. Now, there's a couple things really bad about this. One, Hannity's supposed to be a conservative. What the heck is he having a Muslim ad advertised on his blog, on his forum? And second, of all things, a dating service. It's not a good thing for a woman to marry a Muslim man. Women are treated very abusively in the Islamic religion. They're treated very badly. And so, the last thing that any decent conservative should be doing is advertising something to bring more women into this terrible bondage of an Islamic marriage, of all things. Holy Toledo. And so this really upset me. I wrote an email to the webmaster. I've gotten no response. I put something on my website. And now some people, I sent it out in an email, and I got a lot of suggestions. Some people said, they may be part of an advertising group that just randomly puts things like Google advertisements. Well, but here's the thing. You choose to have that. you don't just, you know, somebody doesn't just start posting ads on your site. You choose to get money from that place to put random advertisements like Google or whatever. But normally, in these cases, when it's a major site like this, I mean, he is a top 100,000 site. He's like, golly, 30-some thousand in the rankings? He's a really top site. Something tells me that they choose their own advertisements specifically. It seems very odd to me that they would just have some random advertiser that they pay for, but either way, they pay for it. Either way, they should be aware of what advertisements are on their supposed conservative sites and forum, which is on the site, and they shouldn't have it. So it upset me, and to the point where I was like, I'm not going to post on that site. Now, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, I have a lot of Muslim friends. A lot of them are like in the service or were in the service, and they're conservative. Now, I don't know everything about all of the friends and all that, but the Muslim friends that I know, I don't have any reason to believe that they mistreat their wives or their girlfriends or their sisters. And this one girl that I know that was from Afghanistan, and she could speak a little bit of Russian because the Russians had taken over there. We went to college. She gave me no indication that her family was ever mistreating her, and she was a very close friend. I think she would have told me. And my point is that you're right. The Muslim faith has a lot of bad apples in it, a lot of bad actors, I guess you could say. But you shouldn't throw the baby with the bathwater. You have our divorce rate in America. We have a spousal abuse, drug use, and families that were divorced and breakup and heartbreak. And we have problems over here. And the point that I'm making is that Muslims are people who were created in the image of God. And maybe on the average, their marriages have more mistreatment. I don't really know. But the Muslim faith, I don't believe is right, because I believe that they are wrong on their view of Jesus. But a lot of the people are sincere, and upwards of around 10% of the Muslim people, your common citizens. I'm not sure if it's that high of a number, but I've heard that they have visions of Jesus himself appearing to them when they're under strong persecution over in their countries, to explain that he's not just a very important prophet, but that he's the Messiah. And a lot of these people are sincere people with a pure heart. Now, of course, they're human.
Here's my thought on that, Gordon. I don't believe it in visions of Jesus unless it's like a dream or something like that. I mean, maybe someone dreams about Jesus,
well,
you know.
Maybe that part is wrong.
But what I want to address a couple of things that you said, and because you bring up some very honest points here.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I don't doubt that there are some Muslims that don't fully follow the Islamic religion. I'm talking Muslims who fully follow the Islamic religion, because the Islamic religion, I mean, they have Sharia law. They have laws that actually call for certain things. I mean, they can actually call for the killing of a wife that the husband feels has dishonored him, and he will call that an honor killing, just like he can kill his kids under these Sharia law. So I'm talking true Muslims, and see, that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that there's two types of Muslims. Not true and true. There's one that's in name only and one that's a true Muslim. And I'm talking true Muslims, because true Muslims follow Sharia law.
I've heard about
true Muslim. A true Muslim man would kill his wife if she did certain things.
That girl in Orlando was afraid to go back to her parents, and I don't know if her fears
were
founded or not, but a lot of them
I think her parents are true Muslims. You see what I'm saying?
If that girl gets killed, I hope that they follow her and find out whether they kill her or they let her live. Because I would like to know, and a lot of people would. Because on the one hand, what if she's in danger? We need to know. On the other hand, what if her parents were not like that? They need to be exonerated.
I'm talking true Muslims, And, you know, I have no doubt, especially in colleges, because a lot of the kids, I see the girls dressed with the head things in college. Right now, a lot of college students are thinking it's cool to be Muslim. Okay, they weren't raised in a Christian home, and so a lot of kids are switching over to the Islamic religion just because for some reason they're thinking it's cool, that and being homo. Okay, for some reason they think these things are cool because it goes against.
Well, that's bad. But I will tell you that I have a homosexual friend. I don't know him too well, but we went to school, and this guy was a Southern Baptist, and I think he still is. He tried getting married. He had a kid. And he tried doing the straight thing. Now, you're straight, I'm straight, and for us it's easy to be straight. But for him, he tried being straight, and he actually had a kid, and he still couldn't be straight. He said,
well, apparently he was able to.
Well,
he couldn't have had that kid.
So
apparently the mechanics worked with a woman,
I know it's funny joking about, but what I'm saying is that he said deep down he still felt gay. And that my point is that I'm totally against gayness. Gayness is totally.
Well, if he was a true born again Christian,
uh-huh.
he would still be, and he would not, and the work of the Lord would be showing in him. He could not practice sin, sin of homosexuality. Could he struggle with it? He could struggle with it. Could he flip?
Well, 48 clearly says that some people don't have as much strength as others and that less is expected. And I'm not saying that homosexuality is right at all, but this guy really did try his best or pretty close to it. The fact that he was homosexual cannot be blamed on him by and large. Now, what he did with it, how he dealt with it, is a different story. If he lived the gay lifestyle, but if he struggled real hard, even though I believe that it's wrong for him to be gay, you shouldn't, hold him to such a high standard and be as critical of him, because there are things that you and I have weaknesses in that he doesn't, that we're weaker in another area. So
well, now here's a conversation that we're sliding into, and now I'm going to go ahead and give you my thoughts on this. Okay, is that it's a sin like any other sin is a sin, but this is particular. Like with some other sins, this one particular is an abomination unto the Lord. But here's the thing with sin. We're all born sinners. We sin because we were born sinners. We don't become sinners because we sin. And yes, this is something that apparently your friend struggles with. But if he really turned his life over to Christ, he would not practice. There's a place in the Bible that says that someone who is, I wish I could remember exactly how it's worded, but someone who's really saved does not commit sin. Now, committeth not sin. Now, what does committeth mean there? Committeth means practice. Practico is the word used in the Spanish dictionary. Okay, so what this is saying is a believer in Christ is committed to not sinning, whereas someone who rejects Christ, who's not really born again in Christ, they are committed to the opposite. And it's a practice. It's not that a believer never sins again. Of course, sinners still mess up and sin. Paul even called himself the chiefest of sinners, and that he did what he didn't want to do and didn't do what he wanted to do. Now, if this friend of yours is struggling with it in this manner, the way that Paul struggled, then I could see that, yeah, it's very possible your friend is a born-again believer and he's struggling like Paul did. But if your friend just threw it out there and said, forget it, I'm a homo and I'm going to just do this and I'm going to practice this lifestyle now and yada yada, then no, the Bible says that type of person is not of the Lord. So we have to realize there's a difference between struggling with a sin and just throwing it out there and just going for it. And when no matter what the sin, if someone just throws it out there and says, forget it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to live this lifestyle, we are, at the very least, we should be treating them as if they're not of the Lord, because they're showing all the fruits of not being of the Lord at that case. again, unless he struggled with the way that Paul did.
I don't know. I will tell you this. He's been polite to me when I've talked to him. I see him on Facebook. We used to go to school together. And this guy is real smart in music. He's up in Nashville and hobnobs with all the big people. So I'm not going to say his name, you know, just out of respect.
No, you don't want to say
his
name.
But of course, but what I'm saying is that I don't know his actual, you know, relationship with the Lord, how much he struggled with it. I know that I'm a straight person and I'm pretty much pure, if you know what I'm saying, like the Virgin Mary. But even the person's heart can be improper. They can have lustful and improper thoughts, and not all sexual nature either. Agree?
Right. I sometimes wonder about Paul. I sometimes wonder what was his, you know, and it probably was more than one thing that he struggled with. But
some people think.
But back to the Islamic.
Some people.
But back to the Islamic topic, I just want to kind of wrap that up because we did have one more topic we wanted to talk about.
Right.
I was meaning real Muslims.
Well,
that
if
they're a real true Muslim, then they are out to kill all infidels. But, you know, I've got to say something here. I'm not real trusting of these supposed right-wing sites because I had a bad situation happen with Newsbusters. I mean, it was like, whoa. And, again, it was a case of where I think it came down to money. But that's a whole other story.
We wanted to talk about health care. And I looked at my...
Yeah, let's hop over to that topic.
I want to put on my boogie shoes.
Now, this is a topic. Socialized medicine, is it okay to have in the United States? Now, I'm going to open this up with saying a few things. I just want to kind of get right out there. I had a healthcare meeting here with some people in my congresswoman's district. And we're trying to fight it. So I actually do have a lot of information about this, and I'd like to know what it was that you were wanting to say or ask about the health care.
Okay. Well, my question was going to be, how come you're opposing socialized health care when the Japanese pay about half what we do in taxes and when they live longer and have lower cancer rates? And I was going to add that in the past, Hannity has said that the meaningful figure is not the average lifespan where we're beaten, but people that have cancer and get treated in the United States survive longer than they do if they're in some other country, let's say Japan, for example. I don't know. And while America does beat other countries in some things, if, in fact, the average life figure is actually accurate, and that was in dispute, that's the actual meaningful figure because averages cover everything.
Well, let me tell you something. That is a really good question, and it deserves a really good answer, and I have the answer.
All righty, I'm listening up.
All glory to the Lord, I have the answer. First off, I'm not sure. This is news to me about Japan, and I'd love to hear more information on it. From what I've heard of countries like Canada and over in England, socialized medicine has not worked out well, and their cancer rates of people dying is higher, and so on and so forth. But even if everything that you've read pans out about Japan to be the case, here's why it is not supposed to work that way here in America, because it's unconstitutional. So it doesn't matter. And this is I'm glad you brought it up because I've said in the past
taking of the taxes for the health care is not given actually a lot of what they're doing right now.
Well, hold on. I just want to get this out because I want to address this. I've said this before. Even if socialized medicine worked great in Canada and worked great in England and now in Japan, I mean, even if it worked great all around the world, our Constitution does not allow it, and we have a Constitution.
Now, I'm familiar with the Constitution, but I'm not an expert in
well, let me bring you there. Let me bring you there.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to bring you there. Okay. Our Constitution, which everyone holding office in this country, they're sworn to uphold and defend, and that would include, obviously, both of the houses, the House of Representatives and the Senate, Congress. The Constitution gives specific powers to Congress, and then it also gives some specific no-nos to Congress, like you can't do things. Then in one of the amendments, it says any power that is not given to Congress and not denied to the states
is given to the states.
Gives to the states. Let me finish. I'm working my way here, Gordon.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm getting tired too. So it is then that is given to the states or the people.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So in the powers that are given to Congress, the only power that says anything about the word welfare is in the first power, and it's talking about reasons that Congress can put taxes on things. And so there's the implication that if they can put taxes on these things, that they can obviously do something about these things. And one of those things is the welfare, the general welfare of the United States. And it's actually connected with the conjunction and says the common defense and the general welfare of the United States. So the common defense and the general welfare of the United States, and the conjunction and equates both of those, equates common defense with general welfare, meaning what one applies to for the United States, the other applies to equally for the United States. So whatever United States means for common defense, United States means for general welfare.
Yeah.
And the common defense that the United States government, the federal government, can do for the United States is for the United States. For instance, if your neighbor breaks into your house, you cannot call the feds. The feds will say, no, 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 that's a state issue. You call the state. Our job is for the common defense, is for the common defense across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
We are to defend the United States from both foreign help me out here, domestic. Thank you.
Foreign and domestic terrorists.
But so it could be someone who crosses a state line and goes and breaks into your home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in a state, if it's in your state, if it's in Florida, it's a state issue. The feds cannot get involved. And likewise, when it comes to the general welfare, it has to do with the United States. And we know this because of a couple reasons. One, the conjunction and.
Well, now, if I were Barack Obama listening in on this phone call, and you never know, he might be, and I decided to pick up the line, I'd say, now, hold on. This is for the general welfare because there are people that are sick that need to be taken care of in the hospital.
No. See, now, follow me here. The general welfare of what? Now I'm going to bring this up really quickly because I want to read it word for word. I don't want to later find out that I messed up how I read it. So hold on one second here. InformingChristians.com, if anybody would like to follow along, up on the top, U.S. Documents, click on that, then click on United States Constitution, then scroll down. It's in the first article. Is it 8? No, yes. Okay. The powers granted to Congress to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Now, this is where the English language comes into play here. We have to look at this with the English language. First, there's the conjunction and, equating common defense and general welfare, because it goes, and provide for the common defense and general welfare. That means whatever the common defense is provided for, the general welfare is equal. And then we see a preposition of, which is the first in the prepositional phrase of the United States. So the common defense that they can provide for is of the United States. That's why they can't get into the individual states. It's of the United States, okay? And the general welfare is of the United States. The welfare, the general welfare spoken here is of the United States. It's not of the individual people. It's not of the states. It's of the United States. Do you follow me here? It's like, what is needed? What is the general welfare to keep the United States safe? To keep the country, the United States. You see what I'm saying? Not the individual people, not their bodies,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Not even the individual states.
They can't even go in and say,
for the welfare of New York, New York really should start doing it this way on whatever the case is.
Well, what
it's for the United States. It's for the general welfare of the United States, the general.
If I were the lawyer arguing on the other side, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but if I were the lawyer arguing the other side, I would say, well, the physical health of the people is good for the general welfare of the country because the people are more important than the actual land that's there. You know what I'm saying? The people are more important than things.
But that's not what this is saying. The general welfare of the United States is talking about what it takes to keep the United States a country safe from foreign invasion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's not talking on the personal welfare. It's not talking on our personal
and viruses.
What?
Foreign invasion from bacteria and viruses. That would count as a foreign and domestic invader, right?
Now, they could say the general welfare because if someone tries to put poisonous stuff in our air, that could be a chemical thing that could hurt everybody. If someone tries to poison our water, there's a general welfare of the United States, something that crosses state lines, okay? If Washington
State... Oh, I see what you're saying. You're equating a person getting sick with someone being broken into in their house as a state issue, not a federal issue.
Yes, if it's something that crosses state lines, like water, like air, if someone was pumping poison in the water in Washington State, Oregon has a right to turn to the United States government and say, hey, wait a minute, they're pumping crud up in their water and it's coming down into our water in Oregon. You know, it's crossing the state. There's a general welfare of the United States. General welfare of what? The United States.
You're saying that it's not necessarily. You're saying that it's not specifically given as a power, and since it's not given, it's therefore prohibited.
Correct. It's prohibited to. It's not. The power is not given to Congress to take care of the state's needs or the private individual's needs. And another place where we see this when we go down to amendment number, I got to go bring it up here. I believe it's amendment 10. Yes. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Now, there's a couple points I want to make here. Nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively,
right,
or to the people. Now,
the question then is
now that, well, that's where we see it, but there's something else I want to point out to you here. We see three. We see the United States, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states. There's number two,
mm-hmm.
Are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Right here in the 10th Amendment, we see the three different entities spoken of in the Constitution and what their definitions are. We see the United States, we see the individual states respectively, and we see the people. Therefore, when the Constitution is speaking of the United States, it is not speaking of the states respectively, the individual states. It's not speaking of the people. It's speaking the United States.
Well, I think that you might make a good case that this is not something that's actually authorized for the federal government to do. Therefore, it must be prohibited on the federal level. But then the question arises, will the states be able to offer some sort of socialized by the state?
And that's a good question, too, that I'm all prepared to answer. And, excuse me, the states, they can head up some type of plan.
Or the county.
But, okay, here's the big but. Amendment 14 says that no states, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, and by the way, that should be out the window with abortion,
right,
liberty, or property without due process of the law.
By the way, the unborn John the Baptist was kicking around, and he was called a babe in his mother's womb, not a blob of tissue. And,
absolutely. But absolutely. But here's the thing. There, no state shall deprive any person of their property without due process of the law, which means you have to do something illegal to have your property taken and given to another person. Because what does due process of the law do? Due process of the law means you did some criminal behavior,
or you harmed
someone, and now you have to pay for their medical needs because you harmed them. So you go through the due process of the law. Now they can take your property to pay for Mrs. Jones's hip replacement because you tripped her as she was walking out of the store. Yeah, I thought it would be funny. Okay, so now you went through the due process of the law. And now the law says you have to pay Mrs. Jones $10,000 for her to have her hip surgery because you were the cause of her hip being broken. But, so, in retrospect, when we read this, okay, I don't know if that's the right word, retrospect, but in something or another, when we read this, we see that that means they cannot take our money, our property, to pay for someone else's medical cares if we're not responsible for it. If we're not responsible for someone's medical needs, the government, the states, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. We're not responsible for the next person's medical needs.
Are you saying the county clinics, let's say that a poor person is poor, and they get county assistance to go to the county clinic to get, prenatal care or a checkup. You're saying that that should not be funded by tax dollars because that's prohibited as a violation of...
That's right, 14th Amendment. It is taking our property and giving it to someone else. It's a redistribution without there being any due process of the law. I didn't break a law. I didn't get her pregnant.
Even though I'm not completely sold on the idea of Japan's model.
Let me say one more thing, Gordon, so that you'll have everything of what I'm thinking here. The states can head it up a type of health plan for people who don't have the money, but it should be totally voluntary and totally ran, even the department, along with any money, it should all be donated. It shouldn't be a case where they take $1,000. Do you know that most families that pay for their own health care insurance, they say roughly $1,000 a year is a tax or surcharges that goes to people in their state that don't have the money. Ours just got raised $575 between what we pay and what my husband's work pays.
Is it going to be a law that will mandate health care even for people that don't want it, that don't have a job, and if you don't pay it, you'll just go to jail because you were it'll be a tax that you can't pay or something?
Well, they'll tax you on your IRS forms, and if you don't pay your IRS,
what if you're
taxes,
unemployed? They're not going to tax you. They're not going to force money out of a can't get blood from a turnip, can they?
Well, if you don't fill out a tax return, then you won't get affected. But
I think they're going to still try to.
But let's say just on this part, if they were not taxing us every which way to pay for things now, and people would have the money then to donate, and people probably would donate more. And if the whole system was ran on donated money, I think it's probably far more probable that people would be more careful with the spending. There'd be a lot less cheating and waste going on. They'd have to be accountable.
Churches have donated money, and you know how they're run.
Well, I'm just saying that if all they're getting is from donated money, then I suppose they'd have to at least try and run it more honestly.
You're right. The churches now do some stupid things, but not near as stupid as the government.
The free market pressure is applied.
When the people in the church see that the guy gets arrested and hauled off for embezzling or something.
let the free market take its course. Let capitalism take its course. Let people donate, but they have to stop taking all of our money in taxes to begin with.